The Gamer's Haven Snippets Mini Reviews. A quick look at some of the games we play, be it card games, board games, or role-playing games. Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. With a huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
This podcast is brought to you by FRP Games, an online retailer specializing in all kinds of gaming products. Please visit www.vorpalnetwork.com in order to gain access to thousands of unique items available only at FRP Games.
Welcome back to the Gamer's Haven podcast. I'm going to go ahead and put the recorder in the middle of the table. I am here with my lovely co-host, Jeremy, who is lovely apparently tonight.
He's pretty.
And my brother, Eric.
And the older, smarter, better-looking brother.
One out of three ain't bad. and his lovely wife, Eunice. And we just got finished playing Small World. Now, I have played Small World before, so I'm probably going to be kind of quiet during this because I'm more interested to hear what you guys have to say about it. So, what is Small World?
Well, first of all, Small World is a board game by Days of Wonder. It's a very...
It's like Risk, but more fun.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, I was gonna compare it to Civilization, but that's...
That's not nearly as crunchy.
Not nearly as crunchy. You're right. It's more like Risk.
Yeah.
But more fun.
Risk with some craziness.
Yeah.
Risk with fantasy races.
With tongue-in-cheek fantasy.
Yeah, more tongue-in-cheek. You know, if you want to be fantasy, that would be Risk, Godstorm, and that's a totally different creature.
Oh,
yeah.
This is Risk
for... less crunchiness, you know.
Well, but it has its own little weirdness to it, though. Like, the thing about having to buy your races, depending on how far down they're on the list, you know, that's neat.
Well, and I like the randomness of the special abilities.
Yeah,
so you start out with this list of races. You have a separate list of races and a separate list of special abilities, and basically the races and the special abilities are assigned randomly. So, like, this time, when I started out, I picked as my race, I ended up in a position to pick the flying tritons, so I had flying fishmen for about half the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy, what did you end up with first?
I had the ghouls.
Alchemist ghouls. Eunice had.
I had
whacking Amazons.
Yes, I had Amazons that could make tents.
And Ethan had diplomatic elves.
I had diplomatic fruity elves.
Yes,
they are really fruity.
They're
not officially
cards.
Called fruity elves.
Well,
I think that's part of the
tongue in cheek on this game is really it's taking that, you know, yes they are fruity elves, yes they are dwarves that mine and whatnot, yes they are ghouls that eat brains, and you know.
Yeah, and we're okay with that because there could be ghoul merchants.
Yeah.
How terrifying would that be?
Well, did we even say the whole point of the game, though, and that's to get victory tokens?
Yes. The whole point is you're playing on a board that represents the world, and the world is really too small for everyone. So you want to conquer territory, which is how you end up generating victory tokens. And there are a couple other ways to generate victory tokens, depending on your powers and abilities and stuff. But you want to be the player at the very end of the game, and the games have limited turns based on the number of players playing. So for the game that we played, we had 8 turns. And So you want to be at the end of turn 8, you want to be the player that has the most victory points.
And if there's a tie, then you want to have the most conquered mm-hmm. spots on the board.
Yeah, because it all comes down to how many victory points you get. It's the race you have at the end of the game doesn't matter.
No.
And my thought on if there's a tie beyond that is it probably goes to the person with the pointiest ears.
Yeah. Or Rochambeau.
Yeah, I like the pointiest ears.
No, going along with the theme of the game, yes.
Yes.
Because the player who
goes first is the player with the pointiest ears. Yes. It sort of sums up the sort of tongue-in-cheek of the game, I think.
And so you take your civilization of guys, take your sort of tribe of guys, and you basically conquer as much as you can, and then when you decide that there's not enough oomph left in them, you send them into decline, or something like that, you start over with a new race, basically. You get a new conquest game.
And I got Commando Wizards, second race.
I do like how the races, and this is one thing that's a little bit different from like Talisman. Talisman's randomness when it comes to characters, mm-hmm. but some characters are actually better than others.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On this one, though, all the races are balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I think it's also the powers. Floating around.
But so even with interesting powers, the races are really balanced.
Like the Hill Ratmen is an excellent combination.
I had Ratmen of the Hills.
Yes. And those powers can alter it, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not the race itself that's not balanced with the other ones. They all have something.
Yes.
Well, and the ghouls were kind of interesting because their special ability was once they went into decline, they basically kept playing. They just lost their power.
And actually, this board game is kind of like, and you two won't know what I'm talking about, but the world building thing that I wanted to do for Gamers Haven.
That we're still
going to
do.
Right, we're still going to do. The declining races is something that you do on that, too.
Cool.
So it's a neat little... Yeah. You can end up with two or three or possibly three races.
I think three is probably...
That's
one of them goes away.
That's the basics of what the game is. What were your guys' thoughts? Did you like it?
I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I'll play it again.
I would definitely play it again.
I think it's definitely risk for people who don't like risk.
Yes.
And it's fun.
There were a couple of issues we had early on in the rule book where we were... Mm-hmm. Where we felt some a couple
once
of points
you get,
kind of
once yeah, the game gets rolling like you have games, to you figure it out
right yes. Yes, because if you've played conquest games before, mm-hmm. my thing is background with Axis and Allies.
Yeah,
you've got to ask the questions and possibly look at the site just to make sure that you know what can you move and what can you not move and so on.
Well, and I will point out that the problem that we had if we had really read the sheet.
Right.
It says leaving one token in each place that you've conquered, collect the rest, and then go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
so
we
just
missed
be
that
very
part.
Yeah. Just yeah. make sure you read though.
You know, like many people don't. We didn't.
What do you think for like kids playing this though?
I think it's a little too advanced for younger kids, but for kids, I don't know what the age range is. I'm not sure what the age range is. It might be on the back.
Yeah. Not sure what the age range is set for. Da-da-da-da-da.
Then again, you know...
It says 8 and over.
I'm not sure.
12.
I would think 12 might work best.
I mean, it depends on the kid. I might go 10.
Yeah.
10, 12.
But keep in mind that at 13 or 14, I was playing Battle.
And this game's
pretty good.
This game's been lauded quite a bit with...
I love the ghouls. They've got their brains all...
Yes.
Hanging out with flies.
But like we said, it's a very tongue-in-cheek game, but it is a lot of fun. And
there's expansions, aren't there?
There are three different expansions for it.
None of which we have. We played the basic game.
Played the basic game, yeah.
And I think
the only die that you roll is a reinforcements die, and that's it. Other than that, there are no dice that you roll in the game. And for that, I think it's very simple.
It does have about
10,000 pieces. There is a section of the rule book about two pages that describes how to organize the tray.
Yes.
which I still find endlessly amusing.
Yes.
But important if you think about it, because it makes the game run smoother just to know where everything
is. The only problem I saw with the tray was the some of the trays are are more square-like, and so like if a piece falls over in them, you pretty much have to get a little butter knife out or something to dislodge the piece, because you can't get your finger in between the gap.
Yeah.
So other than that, and it's not nearly as bad as, say, in my opinion, like Dominion, where if you drop the box, you're screwed.
Right.
In this game, it comes with a little lid and everything.
It does have a good suggestion on how to set up the box so that you can actually either store it by setting it with the bottom, like on the
flat,
or
setting it up like a bookcase game. Yeah.
And it's got a pretty good suggestion as how to do that. And so, given that, I think. Not that I'm going to try it, but I'm pretty sure that I could drop this box and still be reasonably okay.
So one of the other things that I liked is that all of the pieces are very chunky, so you don't have to worry. They're thick pieces.
Very thick, very durable.
You don't have to worry about
cardboard.
Yes, you don't have to worry about them getting bent. Yeah. You don't have to. Shuffling them is a pain in the ass.
Well, even then, the shuffling isn't that hard.
Yeah. No, I mean,
you're not talking these huge cards.
And also, if you really wanted to, the maps in it itself could be used for many other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, for other conquests.
Well, and that's the other thing.
And it actually comes
like
with four different maps.
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's cool, too.
Yes. Well, you use different maps for the different number of players.
You use different maps for
different
numbers.
How many players does it go up to?
Two to five, I think.
Yeah.
And there's there's essentially a map for a two-player, a three-player, a four-player, and a five-player game.
Okay.
Which I think is nice, because like Eric and I can play it, just the two of us. Mm-hmm. We don't have to find a third person.
Well, what is the enjoyability?
As is usual, I would recommend more people. Obviously, this is the first time I played it. We played with four people. Well, we
four and a half,
five. We went to four. My guess is, like most other board games, it's going to be more fun if you get more people involved. Mm-hmm. But
drag. Because, that's one thing I noticed. If you've got people that are really thinking about tactics, it can slow down.
Yeah.
And there is strategy involved in the game, but I think it's not crunchy enough that it's going to bog the game down.
It depends on the players.
Once you got the hang of it, got the rhythm of it, we were going through those turns really quick.
Yeah,
the first game probably took a couple of hours, but we were still trying to kind of figure out how everything worked.
I think the first three or four turns, we were still figuring things out.
After that, things got pretty smooth. So.
But overall, it's a good game. If you guys were rating it 1 to 10, what would you individually rate it?
Boy, that's a...
That's a big... I was thinking 1 through 5. I was going to give it a 4.
I would... Yeah, if we were going 1 through 5, I would give it a 4. If we were going 1 through 10, I'd say an 8.
We'll do 1 through 5, so we got 2 4s. Eric?
I'm going to be difficult and give it a 4.5. Just because I only really because I'm not sure that I could conceive of a board game that would get a 5. This is a lot of fun. I would,
especially if you go into it with
barring a numeric rating, I would definitely recommend this for people that like games like Risk.
How much does it cost?
I believe it's
$50.
$40 or $50.
I'm not sure.
Really.
But you're paying for some good quality on it.
Yes.
I mean, it's Days of Wonder. They put out good stuff.
And so the artwork
It is made in Germany.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The artwork is decent, and you're talking about something that's going to be sturdy, and it's going to you're going to have it for a while.
It's like the Talisman. It can be repeated.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It definitely has almost infinite number.
It will be different every time you play.
Yeah.
And then with the expansion packs,
I'm not seeing the price on this off the top of my head, but
I believe it's between $40 to $50.
$49.99.
Yeah.
But so overall, Small World, I think it's a thumbs up from us here at Gamers Haven. So
I will definitely be playing this again.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun. I look forward to it.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.